Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to actually meet, to share your word with one another, and to have the freedom to do that. And I pray this morning that our hearts would be open to receive what you want to speak into our lives. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So for want of a title, I've called the message this morning, Jesus Unlimited, the Power of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, okay, Lord, why Jesus Unlimited? Because you can be everywhere at every time. And then I was just reminded about when Jesus walked on the earth as a human, he actually couldn't be everywhere at every time. He could only be in one place, like we can only be in one place. But yet when he left his Holy Spirit for us, it made it possible for him to be everywhere at every time. It made it possible for him to be unlimited, to touch people's lives in such a mighty way. And so I love this statement. I don't know who wrote it, but it's one of my favorite. It's always on my status. It says, perfume announces the arrival of a lady and delays her departure. And I love that because there is always a fragrance that gets left behind. And I love perfume. I love fragrances, especially citrus fragrances. So I love my house to smell like citrus all the time. And so fragrance to me is very important. And I remember when I encountered the Holy Spirit the first time, I had an overwhelming sense and smell of jasmine, which is also one of my favorite smells. And so it brings me a lot of comfort when I'm around that fragrance. So 2 Corinthians 2, verses 15 to 16 says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And I think for me, I would rather be the last one, the aroma of life leading to life. So I want to do a little example here. You can see I've got a whole lot of little goodies up here. We're not going to have tea and coffee, but are you a dipper or are you a soaker? I know when people eat rusks, some people don't like rusks to be in their tea at all because they don't want soggy and crumbs and stuff to be left behind. And other people like to really soak their rusk that actually part of it falls off into their coffee. And that's what I like. I like my rusk to fall into my tea or my coffee. So I'm going to just put some water in here to show you guys something. I have a tea bag in this one and one in that one. And I have some coffee in this one. So it's not going to fill, but we'll get there. So if we look at this cup here, are we just going to do one dip and pull it out? So I don't know how everybody likes their tea, if they like it really strong or if they just like it. My friend always used to say pishy tea. Who wants pishy tea? Milky white tea. Or are we going to let it sit here while we have our meeting this morning and just let it steep and become really strong and flavorful? And then over here with the coffee, we'll just imagine that it was really full. There's a process that takes place here. There's a pressing that takes place to bring out the flavor and the fragrance. So I just want you just to keep that in mind as we're sharing, okay? So the Holy Spirit is mentioned 26 times in the Old Testament, but at least 90 times in the New Testament. So we can see that there is actually an emphasis that's starting to take place under the New Testament church where the Holy Spirit is being become even more important. In the Old Testament, it was like poured out on a person for a specific event, for a specific time. But in the New Testament, we all have it. And we can all walk in it. And we can all have the favor of it. And I'm just going to read some scriptures because I'm going to let scripture speak for itself about the Holy Spirit. And actually, it's a good project to do is go and look up all the scriptures that actually talk about the Holy Spirit. Because we are very good at talking about God and talking about Jesus, talking about the work of the cross, which are all essential and important. But they were for a reason. Those events were for specific reasons to bring us to the place where we were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus left so that the Holy Spirit could come. So Psalm 51, verse 11, David says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. He was prepared to lose everything except the presence of the Holy Spirit. He did not want that to be taken from him. He knew the power and the companionship of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom." And when I see people walking in fear and anxiety, I want to say, you need to get before the Lord. You need to get into the Spirit's presence and trust that their freedom comes from that place. That's the only place where that freedom comes from. People can tell you, don't be fearful, don't worry, things are going to be okay. But there's nothing like the presence of the Spirit to bring peace into your very soul, to bring that freedom for you. And then nobody can take it away from you. I mean, you can walk in freedom and people go, oh, you're being irresponsible. No, I have the peace of God. I have the Spirit of God in me that has set me free from fear. And I know that I know that I know I don't have to walk in fear. The Lord has got me. Regardless of what happens, the Lord has got me and he has a purpose and a plan for me. Romans 15 verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you." Okay, fill you. We poured water in. Yeah, there was a filling that took place with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with the hope of the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just about us being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled so that, okay, well, now I'm okay. No, it's so that you can be poured out into other people's lives. It's for a purpose, so that you can pour hope into other people's life. You can pour joy. That fragrance that gets left behind when you've left a place, when you've left being in contact with someone. There's that outpouring that stays and lingers with people. My father-in-law, I met my father-in-law when I was 6 years old. His daughter invited me to Sunday school, Rodney's sister. And that's how I started going to church and met their family. And the thing that sticks in my mind the most about my father-in-law is, doesn't matter what time you came to his house, he was in his study spending time with the Lord. He was up at 4 o'clock in the morning spending time with the Lord. He was in his study after dinner spending time with the Lord. And when I worked with my mom-in-law, and so I'd arrive home to come and pick up my kids, and he would have a cup of tea ready, and then he'd sit and talk about the Lord, what the Lord had done that day and what the Lord was saying to him. And for me, when I came away, even if he didn't say anything, if we just sat and had tea, I just wanted to get into my word. Every time I left his presence, it was like there was such a hunger to be in God's presence after I'd been around my father-in-law. And so knowing that my kids were being looked after at his home during the day brought a peace to me, because I knew that if anything happened, I remember one day Monique had a fever, and he called me and he said, "I'm just letting you know, she's got a fever, but don't worry about it. She's in the room and I'm praying for her. You don't have to take her to the doctor." There was no anxiety like, no, I have to get there. I've got to get her to the doctor. Her fever's too high. I knew my father-in-law would travail in prayer until that fever broke. And then when I got home, she was bouncing around playing. She was fine. So the presence of the Spirit in him gave me a sense of freedom and peace, because I knew he was soaked and saturated in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, in whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." I think of the work of Jesus on the cross, the price that he paid for us to have the privilege of the Holy Spirit. And I know that people have seen very extremes. When we lived in the States, I went to a few Holy Spirit meetings, and I have to say I was very shocked that I was sorry I'd even invited people to go with me to some of these meetings, because they were pouring Holy Spirit shots and like weird stuff. But that doesn't nullify the fact that the Holy Spirit is real. And we can't throw that out because now we've had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit. We have to trust that the authentic is there, and that's what we're looking for. It's the same with media today, you know. There's so much fake news out there, but we don't say now we're never going to listen to the news again because it's all fake. We have to search out the authentic. We have to trust for the authentic, and then we'll be honored with that. The Lord will, he will fill us with the authentic when we search it out. John 14, verse 16 says, "And I, Jesus, will ask the Father, God, and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever." Not just a one-time filling, not just a little dip, but forever, until you face Christ face to face, you will have the Holy Spirit with you forever. He's your companion. He's your friend. You need to desire him more than life itself, to walk in his presence. And I thought about, you know, my kids are in New Zealand and my grandchildren are in New Zealand, so we often order gifts online for them and then have them delivered. But we always forget about the batteries. Drives me insane. Or my daughter will go and buy the present for them. I'll send her a picture and say, "Please go buy this." And then I'm like so excited because I want to see them playing with this toy. And they go, "Oh, we forgot to get the batteries." I'm like, really? What is the point of the toy without the batteries? And then the next week we'll Skype again. "So have you got the batteries yet?" "No, Granny." And we're just playing with the toy, but it, and I'm like, he doesn't even know the full potential of what this toy can do because it doesn't have the batteries. And that's it. We have this gift in us that we don't even know the potential of it because we haven't kicked in the power of it. We haven't turned it on. We haven't plugged it in. We haven't put the batteries in. And this gift is just waiting to be ignited, to be acknowledged, to be poured out for somebody else to get the privilege of it. And then when the toy is turned on and he can see, actually, I don't have to push this car anymore. It drives by itself with little effort. That is when he enjoys it even more, because it's something that has just transformed now. "Granny, do you know that this toy drives by itself?" How amazing is that? When you hear the Holy Spirit give you a word for someone and you go and share it with them and they go, "How did you know that? It's impossible. I never told anybody that." The Holy Spirit, the batteries have just been put in. There's been an ignition that has taken place. So yesterday, I think the Lord was just showing me a real life experience of that to remind me and refresh me. I went to the doctor to fetch my blood test results, which I was supposed to go and get like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, I'm not going back. I don't want to go and get my results. And then yesterday morning I woke up and I was faffing around at the house and I just felt the Lord say, "You need to go to the doctor." I'm like, okay. So I went off, I got to the doctor's room, it's about 10 o'clock, and in walks this biker guy with his jacket on and his helmet and all of that, and he sits down opposite me and he says, "You're a pastor's wife." And I'm like, "How would you know that?" And he just starts prophesying over me in the doctor's rooms about my children in New Zealand, about my daughter that's on the ship and the worship gifting on her, and that he sees a tall man that's 6'4" that's had a hip issue or surgery, and God has got nations over your life. And for an hour this guy prophesied my whole life over me. The doctor walked out, saw him, obviously knows that he is also a pastor, saw him prophesying over me, went back into his room and waited for us to finish while we were in the doctor's rooms. And I actually came away there so excited that God had actually prompted me to go, and it was a divine appointment. If I'd gone 3 weeks before, I would have missed that. And if that man hadn't been obedient to speak out regardless of what area we were in, or, you know, what room we were in, because, oh, we're in a public place and we can't do this in a public place, we both would have missed out on an amazing blessing. So don't stifle the Holy Spirit when he's prompting you to share a word. We all have the Spirit in us and we have the ability to do that. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." So this is the purpose. It's the purpose is to speak out what God's putting in you to touch people's lives. And this scripture, I've actually never read the scripture. In 2 Peter 1 verse 21, it says, For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but the prophets, through the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So to say, oh, well, I'm not a prophet and I can't prophesy, that's really not true. Because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit that carries you to speak prophetically into people's lives. So the key here is Jude 1, verse 20 to 21. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We have to soak in the presence of the Spirit and the Lord. We can't just dip our toe in and go, okay, that's sufficient. So I've been doing a study on grapes and the vine. And this lady had three sets of products that came from a grapevine. And I shared it at one of the elders' meetings. So you have the grapes, which are fresh, plump, they're straight off the vine. They're a great snack. You can grab a bunch of grapes. You can take them with you wherever you go. Snack on them. They're nutritious. Good sugar. They are great. And then you get raisins, who are really dried out, and not everybody likes raisins. They like dried and wrinkled and don't look like they have much nutrition in them at all or are worth anything, you know. It's like you want to soak them to plump them up again. But yet there is still some nutritional value in them, but they're a bit dried out. And then there's red vintage wine. That is expensive. And that has a good value on it and has been through a long process to get to the point of where it's ready to actually be popped open. Well, we pop champagne, we don't pop wine. Uncorked and ready to be shared for a special event or a special occasion. All three come from the same plant. They all come off the same vine, but all three have a different purpose or a different value. And it's like, do we want to just be the quick snack on the go, or do we want to be the vintage wine that is for a special occasion, that has been through a process, that is valuable? Or do we want to be the prune or the sultana or raisin that has had, I've had a little devotion here, a scripture here, a bit here, I have a little bit of nutritional value in, but actually I'm not plump and full and rich to be able to bring something of value to people. So we've just been going through the teaching on Ananias and Sapphira, and I've always wondered, why is the scripture there so strong that we can actually blaspheme or sin against Jesus and that would be forgiven, but against his Holy Spirit, he is so protective over the Spirit. And it's, you know, it's like when you read the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? It doesn't say, why have you lied to God? Or why have you lied to Jesus? It's like, why have you lied to the Spirit? Because the Spirit was in them. They knew right from wrong. They'd been given this precious gift that knows them and knows everything that's going on in their mind, and yet they still lied. And I think that's such an interesting thing for me, because the Lord has given us this precious gift, and yet some of us don't even want it. We're like, no, I'll have Jesus because I can understand that a bit more, and I'll have God, but the Holy Spirit's weird. It weirds me out. It's kind of, I don't want him to come and make me laugh or, you know, make me lie on the floor crying or rolling around and having no control. And that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's that we want control. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we can't have control. We have to surrender. We have to let it go. We have to allow him to do the work. And I don't believe that my Father, who knows me, would embarrass me and do something that would make me look foolish. And I know we, when we were teenagers, the whole Toronto move was happening, and I remember our pastor at the time said to us, don't be quick to judge what's going on. He's like, look at the fruit of what comes from that. It might not look the same to us, might not look how we think it should look, but look at the fruit. And the way God touches people, he touches everybody differently. It's not the same. We all are different and individuals, and he honors that and he meets us at that place. So A.W. Tozer makes a statement. He says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. That's actually very scary. He says, but if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped and everybody would have known the difference. I'm like, Lord, I want to walk in the New Testament, Holy Spirit. I want to be the one where people touch the hem of my clothes because I'm so saturated in the presence of God that their lives are transformed, that healing comes upon them, that when someone's body gets thrown onto my bones, when I've died one day, that they come back to life because even my bones are saturated with the presence of God. We really want to have just, I love looking at the generals, God's generals, and the stories of Catherine Kuhlman, and I was listening to one of the stories yesterday where it said that she just walked, one day she walked onto the stage, she never said a word, she never preached, she just walked onto the stage, and people got up out of their wheelchairs. And I'm like, you know what, God's word doesn't return void. It doesn't need us. We don't have to explain the scripture. The Holy Spirit does that. He just needs us to be willing vessels to walk in what he's put in us and to pour that out and to bring fresh living water wherever we go. I mean, can we function without the Holy Spirit? Yes. We still have salvation. We do. It's like the toy without batteries. You can still play with it. It'll still bring some kind of fun. You know, you can push the car along. It'll still bring joy and entertainment, and we can still share scriptures into people's lives. But it might not have the same impact if we've heard the Spirit and we go and we do something. We can give finances, but if the Holy Spirit has told us to do it in a specific way, it'll bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth a harvest that we never imagined. So, Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, this is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Acts 1 verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And Ryan preached at the Southside on Sunday, and he made an amazing statement. He said, you cannot have the power without the power. And I was like, okay, let me think about that for a minute. It's like, the Holy Spirit came first, then the power came. But sometimes we want the power without the Holy Spirit. We want to see the manifestation of the gifts. We want to see the miracles, the signs and wonders. But we don't want to spend time in our closet alone in the presence of the Lord, you know, because I might miss my series or... And I always think of it in a way of us going for coffee with our friends. Imagine sitting across from each other here, and we're not engaging each other, but we're actually texting each other while we're sitting across from them, but we never engage them directly. Or we actually talk to them through Facebook, like a lot of the young people do. They're sitting next to each other, and they, you know, talking to each other via WhatsApp. I'm like, you're right next to each other. Open your mouth and talk. Look the person in the eye. And I think that's a bit what we do, is we engage the Holy Spirit and Jesus through someone else's devotional, or through a YouTube video teaching, or through someone else's preach, or through someone else's WhatsApp message that they sent us this morning. And those are all good, but he hungers still for our personal time with him, our coffee time with him, our presence of being his friend, engaging him face to face, waiting to hear what he wants to say to us. He loves our presence, and we should love his presence too. We should hunger for it so much that actually we want to say to people, look, my diary's full this week because I have an appointment. And then I'll see if I can fit you in. And then the Holy Spirit say, no, you need to fit them in, because that's why I came, is so that you can engage people. But it should be that thing that actually we don't want to leave the Lord's presence, the Holy Spirit's presence, because we are so loving his presence. John 14 verse 4 says, we will have living water, fresh water every day. That fragrance, the smell of rain after it's rained, that wet smell, that fresh smell, that fragrance that lingers long after we're gone. So the books and internet and YouTube can't replace the Holy Spirit for us. I'm going to do a little activation, and I'm going to close with John 14, verse 15, which is a little bit of what Rosie shared in the beginning. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper that'll be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him, he dwells in you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Well, how can he bring to remembrance all the things that the Lord has said to you if you're not spending time in his word? You see, it's not just the word, and it's not just the Spirit. It's not just God or just Jesus. It's all of it. It's word and Spirit. It's the Spirit that brings the word alive. It's the Spirit that activates the word to us, that helps us to understand it, that helps us to have the boldness and the courage to share it with other people. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. That scripture confused me so much when I was a teenager. It's like I had to read it like 50 times before it made any sense to me. In Genesis 1, so we have John, we have Genesis, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. The Spirit has been there since the beginning. He's there in the middle, and he's there at the end. In Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride, we're now part of that. It's not just the Spirit and God and Jesus. It's not just the Spirit. Now it's the Spirit and the bride. Us say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And let him who comes, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come and take the water of life freely. It's a free gift. And I think when we don't want it, that's what grieves the Spirit. When we have this amazing gift with an amazing power, we know how we feel if we give someone a gift and they go, oh, thank you so much, and they just put it aside. And then you come a week later, so have you used that gift yet? No, I haven't got around to it. And then you feel like actually they don't value what I've given them. They don't put value on the gift. So next time I'll rather just give them a card or something. I won't actually take time out to go and give them that gift. Let's not grieve this gift that the Lord has so willingly given to us. So I want to ask you, we're going to just close our eyes for a minute and do a little activation. And then I want you to ask the Lord for the ladies at your table to just give you a word of encouragement for them, to share with them, because this is the prophetic part of having the Spirit in us, is that he's brought us here to be able to bring hope to one another. So I want you to close your eyes and don't open your eyes until I've said open them, okay? We're just going to do a little activation quickly. Okay, you can open your eyes. So, the ladies on this side, tell me, what did you smell? And the ladies on this side, what did you smell? Vanilla. Okay. So this little exercise was, these ladies got a spritz of hypnotic poison perfume on this side, and these ladies got a smell of percolated coffee. Now, because we didn't all smell the same thing, does it mean that they wrong and you right, or you right and they wrong? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that they had a different experience than you had. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. When we come out of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we've all had different experiences. It doesn't make my experience better or right. It does mean that we have to test it and share with someone, because they shared, oh, well, we smelled vanilla and we smelled this and we smelled this. You said you smelled coffee, and I'm like, okay, now this is what you smelled. So it brings a little bit of clarification to what was out there. And so that's what I encourage you with. When you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, don't try to figure it out and think, is this right, isn't this right? Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. And then go to someone that you trust and say, this is what I experienced. What do you think about it? Can you help me work through it? It felt amazing, or didn't feel really comfortable. And work it through with someone to bring clarity, and ask the Lord to give you scripture to define what's taking place as well. But don't engage it because you're afraid of it or you're not sure about it. Put yourself with someone that can walk this journey with you.